It is good to see everyone today. We are in Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 1 and 2. Same title as last week's message, Are You Living the Life? Part 2. And we're going to delve deeper into this message with other scriptures. But what the question is, are you experiencing the life? Jesus tells us, I've come to give you the life. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, it's much, much more than what a lot of folks think, I don't know, Christianity or spirituality actually are. But we want to just delve a little deeper. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2 says this, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk and live not after the flesh, but we walk and we live after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and that's the whole study. What does that phrase mean? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Let's go to the Lord. Father, as I come today, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin and weekly sin that I confess to you out loud and have just done again this day. Lord Jesus, I pray as I confess that you are right and I'm wrong, that I will be washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Because you promised us, as we looked at the promises of God Wednesday night, everything is bad. Every thought I have spiritually is based on your revealed promises. Every hope, every movement, every breath of life. And so this is one of them, Lord, that if I confess my sin, you are faithful and just to forgive me my sin and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us of all unrighteousness. I believe that. I experience that. Because that's a promise you made. The God who can never lie. And the God who never fails. So I want to thank you, Lord, for all the promises that we live our lives standing on. Father, let your Holy Spirit move tonight, today, and touch our hearts. Let everyone in this place know it's not about a building. It's not about doing a few good things. It's not about being a member or having a label. It's about a life. Your life, a force of action, a force of established action. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, here's the phrase, Romans chapter 8, verse 2. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That word for law in the Greek is nomos, and I want you to listen. This is what it means. Told you last week. It is a force or a principle of established action. A force or a principle of established action. We hear all the time about the law of gravity. What is the law of gravity? That is a principle or a force of established action. What goes up must come down. There is a law of breathing, physically. When I inhale, then I have to exhale. After I exhale, I'm going to have to inhale. So there are established actions that follow suit that are natural laws. Well, there are spiritual laws, and this one is the spiritual law of the Holy Spirit. Now, so there are established actions that occur when the Holy Spirit enters a person's life or heart or body. Now, the second part of nomos is the second part of this verse, the law of sin and of death. Now, that law, that nomos, same word, but second definition, means an established set of commands or principles, moral and judicial. So the Mosaic law is the law of sin and death. Thou shalt not commit murder. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. We've got all these commands and all these principles that are in the law. That's the part of nomos. Also the law of the land. Speed limit 55, that's a nomos. If I go over that, I break the law. So here we have the law of the Spirit of life. It is a force or a principle of established action. Now, that word life, look at it, verse 2. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, what is that? That's the word Zoe. And I made it more basic for you this week. The word Zoe means inner spiritual life. Bios means my physical life, my organs, my blood vessels, my sight, my hearing, my senses. Zoe means an inner spiritual life. Now, you say, Brother Leo, what does that mean from a biblical standpoint? It is the divine life of Christ being lived out within us and through us. The divine life of Christ being lived out within us and through us. Do you have the life of Christ in you? Are you experiencing the life of Christ in you? And all that that encompasses and all that that entails. Now, we haven't looked at that yet. But let me show you what this means. The inner spiritual life, the divine life of Christ being lived out within us and through us. We've watered this down. We've missed this boat. We don't hear it much. But go to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, and then we're going to go to 2 Peter. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul says this. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. He's saying, I died, but I'm alive. I died, but I'm still alive. And yet it's not I that's living. It's not the old me that's living. But now it's Christ that's living in me and through me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, not faith in the Son of God. If you've got NIV, New King James, whatever, they changed that. They should have never changed that. I'm living not by my faith in the Son of God, though I am. But in this context, I'm living by the faith of the Son of God. I'm living by the power of the Son of God, by the wisdom of the Son of God, by the life of the Son of God. And it's just like the song Tony just gave us. Without God, I can do nothing. Without God's faith, I can do nothing. Without God's wisdom, I can do nothing. So it's the faith of the Son of God that has been placed in me, who loved me and gave himself for me. So this is what we come to understand. Before I go to 1 Peter, let me take you to John chapter 20 so you can get an understanding of it. This is an incredible illustration of what happened the moment you got saved. And you might say, Brother Leo, I didn't even know this is in the Word of God. And it's often overlooked and it's often misunderstood. But I want you to see an illustration of what happened. In verse 19, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, and the resurrected Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said, peace be unto you. And in verse 21, Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. He exhaled and they inhaled the breath of the resurrected Christ. And you know what that breath represented? The resurrection life of Jesus. And when you got saved, the Holy Spirit was sent from heaven and you breathed in the resurrected life of Christ. And people say, Brother Leo never felt so much peace. You had resurrection divine life. filling your body. I never felt so good. I guess you didn't. I want you to understand the eternal breath, the resurrection breath. And so Jesus was fulfilling at this moment. Let me read it to you again. Jesus said to them, peace I give to you. And when he said this, he breathed on them. And I believe he breathed on every one of them individually. Doesn't say that, but I believe that he did. Because I'm afraid to tell you, just because your mama saved you not. Just because your daddy's a preacher don't mean you're going to heaven. Everybody's got to get an individual resurrection breath of Christ. Amen. So I believe he breathed on them individually and they inhaled the resurrection breath of Christ. And you might be sitting there saying, boy, I'd have loved to have been there. My friend, I was there. I am there. I have experienced it.
Amen.
And you have to. And so this is different. This is different than me filling out a form at the hospital and them saying, you know, what religion are you?
Yeah.
You know, this is different. It's different than me telling you I want all of you to go out Tuesday night and invite somebody to come to this building next Sunday. This is different. This is me saying, well, I don't have anything to put on your piece of paper, but I want you to know 40-something years ago, Jesus breathed into me the resurrection breath of life. And so it changes everything. There's a power to that. And see, he's fulfilling the purpose for which he came. So go with me to John 6. Go with me to John 6. And look at what he says. Look at what he says, why he came. And so that's why we're going to keep asking the question. Are you experiencing this life? This force of established action that is a change. It's a newness. It's an invigoration. Now, in John chapter 6, verse 32, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which comes down from heaven, that's Jesus, and gives what? Life. Unto everybody in the world. That gives unto everybody Zoe. So what is Zoe? Zoe is the inner spiritual life. It is all that Christ is in his highest blessed state. And that's what Paul said last week when he said, I strive for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And Jesus says in John 10, he says, look, I've come to give you this life and to give it to you more abundantly. So we strive for it and he wants to give it to us. And so it works beautifully. You put forth a little bit of effort to allow the Holy Spirit to live the life of Christ in you and through you. You're going to receive that breath. You can drink deeply of the living water. You can inhale deeply the breath of the living God. Now you know why Jesus did this and you know why John recorded it in chapter 20. Because Jesus says in John chapter 3, you must be born again.
Yeah.
You say, well, wait a minute, Brother Leo, why are you tying that together? What did he tell Nicodemus? You got to be born of the flesh and then you got to be born of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Well, in the garden, the second person of the Godhead, who we now know as Jesus, came down. Took the clay of the earth and he put it all together and he formed man. And then you know what he did, right? He bent over and he breathed into him the breath of life.
Amen.
So my physical life and my spirit. And so now here he is again, the second person of the Godhead in human form now forevermore, breathes into them the second birth, the breath of life. And so I've got life. Isn't that wonderful? I've got life. I'm alive. You say, well, Brother Leo, I know. No, I'm not talking about the bios. I'm talking about the Zoe. And people need to see this life in us. Now, let me show you something else about it. It's all through the New Testament. You start studying this, and you're going to see. You know, I'll never forget. It was in this county when I upset a lady down the road. And she walked out of the church that day. And because I made the statement, Jesus was not a Baptist, that he was a Jew. And she was highly offended. And as she went out, she said, "I need to correct you on this." And I said, "You need to correct me on what?" She said, "Jesus was a Baptist." I said, "Well, how do we know that?" She said, "Because he was baptized by John the Baptist." And sometimes you just don't pick your fights. You shake hands and you just let her go. And I believe she's saved. And I believe in heaven she's going to find out that Jesus was Jewish. And we've been grafted in to the original olive tree. And we're going to enjoy a lot of Jewish traditions in the kingdom of heaven and in the millennial kingdom and all these things. That, not that I'm a vengeful person, but I'm going to look her up. No, I'm just teasing. All right, go to 1 John. Go to 1 John chapter 5, and I'm going to go nanny, nanny, poo, poo. All right, 1 John chapter 5. And I'm going to have my prayer shawl on, my phylacteries. And I'm going to say, "I'm Jewish." All right. 1 John chapter 5. It's all through the scriptures that Jesus came to give us life. Now, look at what the scripture says. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. "He that believes on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believes not God hath made him a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave us of his Son." Now, John's writing to Jews that are saying Jesus wasn't the Son of God. He wasn't the Messiah. But then John makes this point. If that's what you feel, I want to break it down for you very simply. And John says this. "And this is the record. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this eternal life is only in his Son. He that has the Son hath eternal life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not this life." Are you living the life? Do you have the life? Dear listening on the website, you know, I'm not asking you if you've always been a church member. I'm not asking you if you're a good person. This is the record. Do you have the Son? If you got the Son, you've got eternal life. Romans 6:4 tells us he has born us again to walk in newness of life. It's called newness of life. It's called eternal life. It's called the life of the Son. It's called the life. And you need to wake up tomorrow morning and say, "Lord Jesus, help me live the life." You ever heard people say that? "Boy, life is good. I'm living the life." Yeah, there's only one. And that's this one. The life that is in Christ Jesus. You want to live it in your family. You want to live it in your marriage. You want to live it in every area and in every aspect that you can. Now, he came to give you life. Now, let me show you the elements of this life. His life is now your life. His life is now my life. His life is in me. I want you to say that with me. Would you say that with me? His life is in me. Would you say it again? His life is in me. All right. Now I want to show you what you just said. I want to show you the life that is in you. Go with me to 1 John chapter 1. Just turn back a few pages. And this is what they were teaching. They were teaching about the life. And the Spirit gives life. Look at what it says. 1 John chapter 1, and we talk all the time about receiving the Holy Spirit. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive the resurrection spirit. And when you receive the resurrection spirit, you receive the resurrection life. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard," and I studied that. The "that" there could easily be who. It's a person. It's a life. He's talking about the life, but the life of the person. "That life which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested and we have seen it. What's John saying? John saying, look, I'm about to write you a letter, and I'm writing you a letter about Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, for 3.5 years, I knew Jesus. I walked with Jesus. I saw Jesus. And I experienced how he lived his life. I touched him with my hands. I ate fish with him. I saw him walk on water. I saw him perform miracles. I felt his love, his forgiveness, his mercy. Everything about his life, I saw, I witnessed, and I experienced. For 3.5 years, physically. And that's what he's telling. And now he says this, for the life was manifested, and we saw it, and we bear witness, and we show unto you that eternal life. What was Jesus' life? Jesus' life was that eternal life. When you get saved, you receive the eternal life. He was with the Father before the world began, and then 4,000 years after creation, he was manifested unto us here on earth. So everything we saw and heard Jesus say, we declare it unto you for a purpose. And the purpose is that you may have fellowship with us as born-again believers. And truly our fellowship is already with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We're telling you all about His life because He wants you to receive His life. I joined the church. There's no power in that. But I received the very life of Christ. Come in me. There's power in that. And see, we don't even understand. Our religious vernacular, we water down a lot of things. You know, and there's no power in the way we even speak about the things of God. And so you need to speak what's in the Word. And John's saying, I'm going to tell you all about this miraculous, divine, wonderful, loving life because we want you to receive His life so you can fellowship with us as brothers and sisters in Christ because we've already got Him living in our heart. You know, it's real important you know that. And that's something, you know, Patty and Daniel, they still crack me up after all these years. They had such an incredible relationship when he was a child. Patty always taught Daniel about having Jesus in his heart. You know, you got to have Jesus in your heart. And he learned that phrase. And I can't remember what he did, but we were upstairs in North Carolina and Daniel and Patty were downstairs. And he did something, got his rear end tore up. He comes flying up the stairs crying, jumps in my mother's arms. And Mama says, what's wrong? He says, Mama ain't got Jesus in her heart. That was the whole problem. He didn't do anything wrong. Mama didn't have Jesus in her heart. So, but he knew that phrase. He knew that phrase. I got tickled the other day. I got to see Kelly drive for the first time, seeing her drive. And Ginger was in the passenger side. And you know how it is when your child's driving and we were following them at one point. We were ahead of them at another point, and I got to go out and go back and talk to them. And, you know, when you're a parent, it's kind of a confrontational, I guess, situation. And it was hysterical when Patty and Daniel would ride together. And I was telling Kelly the story. I said, yeah, I said, it got so bad. Daniel pulled over and got out and said, you drive. And that happened last year in Nashville. Patty was telling Ginger, she said, when Daniel's driving and I'm in the front seat, I'm looking at my phone, I close my eyes. I mean, it's terrible. Daniel's 30 years old. Patty still can't ride with it. But it happened last year in Nashville on I-65. But what we got to understand, anyway, let me get back to the message. You got Jesus in your heart. You've got the life of God living in your heart. And so we need to know about the life. So go with me to John again, John chapter 1. And look what the scripture says. His life is in me. Jesus said, I came to give you my life. And there's a law there that we'll probably look at next week because that word nomos But in John chapter 1, verse 14, it says this: "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." This is what John was just talking about in 1 John. "And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." We beheld the glory of God for 3.5 years physically, and we saw all the grace and truth of God shining through the personality and the life and the emotions of Jesus. Now this is what he's saying. "And of His fullness now have all we received." What they received? The fullness of His life. You know, I've got it all in me, the fullness of the life of Christ. Whether I'm quenching it, whether I'm holding it back, whatever it is. You know, Lord, reveal to me. We saw that last week in Philippians. Paul said, "Lord, reveal to me the areas in my life where I'm not allowing You to live Your life in me and through me." You know, the joy and the hope and all these things of the life of Christ. Now, notice what he says. "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." So all the grace and the truth of the life of Christ is in me. All the grace and truth. "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him." How did He declare Him? By His life here on earth. Now, look at verse 4. "In Christ was life, and the life was the light of men." And so the light of Christ is in you. This life of Christ is in you. And here we go again in verse 3. "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." The creative power of Christ is in you. You know, everything, that's what Zoe is. It's everything that is the highest and blessedness of Jesus Christ. All of that is now in you. Folks say all the time, "I just can't forgive." You don't have to worry about being able to forgive. Christ's life can forgive in you and through you. That's what you need. "I can't quit worrying about this thing." You don't have to do that. The peace that passes understanding that was in Jesus Christ is now in you. The praise chorus just now could not have been more appropriate. Without Him, we have nothing. And if I'm going to do anything, it's got to be through Him. If I'm going to feel anything, it's got to be through Him. It's got to be His joy, His peace, His wisdom. And this life has been breathed into me. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. "This is the law of the Spirit of the life which is in Christ Jesus." That's what Paul's talking about. Paul knew what he was talking about. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says that Jesus Christ is the brightness of the glory of God. He is the express image of the person or personality of God. He upholds all things by the word of His power. And when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. In verse 2, it says that the Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world. So you've got the creative power of God in Christ. You've got the saving power of God in Christ, purging our sins. You've got the personality of God in the life of Christ, the express image of His person. And all of this has been breathed into us. It's unbelievable when you meditate upon this, how strong fallen human nature is to be able to beat back this tidal wave of divine godly goodness that's in us. But I got to give us credit. We sure can do it. We need to let the dam break and let all the divinity of God just flow through us. And see, that's what Paul said. Let me take you there, and I'll take you one other place and close. We did it last week. We'll go ahead and do it again. Oh, man. I don't know if I've got... Go to Philippians. We'll find it. It's a little book. So I ought to be able to find it. In Philippians 3, Paul is talking about pursuing the Zoe. And in verse 14, he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You say, what is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? It's allowing Him to live His life out within us and through us. He will raise you to a higher level of living and a deeper level of living. You know, it's almost like, I don't know, the National Enquirer. A lot of people live National Enquirer lives. You know, a lot of chaff and fluff and, you know, they live to see who's doing this or having another baby. You know, all these things that are totally inconsequential mean a lot to these people. Like having something new materialistically or whatever. But the bottom line is, Paul's saying when the life of Christ, when the life of the Creator of the universe is being lived out through you, you have a higher level of living. You have a deeper level of living. You know, Patty made a profound statement yesterday. And we've said it many times. When the 1st of October gets here and the hummingbirds leave, we notice the silence. Because until then, we're up to about six of them. And they're all day long now. And there's one feeder at one end, one feeder at the other. And when you sit in the swing, Miss Jane, they zoom by your head. It's a neat, they'll come right at you and zoom. You know. Patty goes, I get so used to hearing the beat of their wings and the chirping. And I said, is that not just an amazing blessing from God? She said, I think people get so used to what they hear. She said, a lot of people are so used to hearing traffic, to hearing heavy machinery. And then she kept going. She said, some people have to get used to hearing the Lord's name taken in vain and hearing terrible things said by people that live in their own homes and some of these children that come to school and those kind of things. She said, you know, it's really important what we hear and how it can be a blessing or not. And, you know, this higher calling allows you to take a breath and listen to the drumbeat, the wing beat of a hummingbird and say, my Creator is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Now, notice what he says. Verse 15. Let us therefore as many as will be complete. He goes, I want to completely live this higher calling life. Be thus minded. I'm going to strive for it. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. And so what he's saying there is, God revealed to me the areas in my life where you're not being allowed to live through me. That's a legitimate prayer. It'll change your whole life. Maybe two areas, maybe five areas, maybe 20 of them. But they're little individual dams that have been built in the reservoir, and they need a, you got to let those things break down, those walls, and let the living water flow, you know, so you can inhale the breath of life. I don't want you to forget it, so I'm going to close with it. Go with me to John 20 and let me close with it. And then we're going to have a time of invitation where we're going to ask God that very question about reveal to me, Lord, those areas in my life. Are you living? Are you experiencing the life that He came to give you? Doesn't have anything to do with circumstances. And it's something inside of you. In John 20, verse 22, and when Jesus had said this, he breathed on each one of them individually, I think. He breathed on each one of them individually, and he said unto them, receive ye the Holy Spirit within your body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, within your soul, and let me be united with your spirit as the breath of life. God hath breathed into you his resurrected life. It's so much more. It's so much more than we find ourselves realizing. Somebody think you were crazy if you walked up to him yesterday and said, you know, the breath of the resurrected life of God is in me. But that's true. Christians should have been saying this 2,000 years. I got his life. Ricky, you got his life. What happened when you got saved? I got the life of Christ breathed into me. Well, what are you talking about? There are people who go to church every Sunday. I could say that. They don't even think that's in the Word of God. I could show you 50 New Testament verses that speak about the life. Zoe, he didn't come so we could join a church. He came so we could receive his life. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, please reveal to me the areas in my life where I am not allowing you to live out your life in me and through me. Father, we need to break those things down so your life can flow into that area. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's just take a few minutes to meet with Jesus.